外昆塔之音，服务源于聆听。各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早上好。今天是2020年2月15日，星期六。我们非常荣幸地邀请到敬爱的萨提亚德瓦帕布为我们讲述今天的圣殿博加瓦坛的早课。感谢大家的聆听。Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Good morning to all the devotees in China.
Hare Krishna. 中国的奉献者们，大家早上好啊。
I'm praying that you're all safe and healthy.
我祈祷着大家都是健康平安着的。
And I really miss you all.
然后我真的很想念，很想念大家。
I'm glad we can get together on the internet.
真的很高兴能够每个周末和大家一起在网络上相聚。
So today we're reading from 6th Canto, Chapter 3. I think we're on text 12, moving right along in the story.
好，今天我想我们是到了圣殿博加瓦坛的第六篇第三章的第十二诗节，就沿着整个故事继续展开。
I excuse the noise. There's a noise in the background because our neighbors are, there's a gardener there with a leaf blower, but I think they'll be done soon.
姑姑说想请求大家原谅，就是他那边的声音后背景后面有噪音，是因为是邻居的，可能那个园丁在修剪树木什么的，是不过很快就会完了。
So I'll chant Jaya Radha Madhava and then we'll begin our reading.
所以说我们就一起来唱 Jaya Radha Madhava， 然后开始我们今天的学习。
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janabalava Girivana Dari Gopi Janabalava Girivana Dari Yasoda Nandana Vraja Janarajana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Janarajana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janabalava Girivanadari Gopi Janabalava Girivanadari Yasoda Nandana Vraja Janarajana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Janarajana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Nitai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. Hey, I don't hear any noise next door. They must have finished.
Great. 已经听不到隔壁邻居的噪音了，太棒了。
Okay, so we're on text 12 today. And in the story, up until now, actually, in the story, the Yamadutas have been doing all the talking.
好，我们就一起来看到今天的第十二诗节。故事进展到现在，实际上一直都是亚玛都塔阎罗王的命令执行官们在进行着所有的对话，在说着所有的话语。
Yeah, so they've been expressing their frustration and their doubts to Yamaraj.
他们就是在表达，向阎罗王表达他们的沮丧和怀疑。
And actually, they're so upset at not being able to execute their duty that they're actually prepared to kill themselves.
而实际上，他们由于对于自己无法去执行自己的职责，已经感到非常的恼火，然后以至于都已经做好准备要杀死自己了。
But before they kill themselves, they want to hear from Yamaraj the answer to two questions.
不过在结束生命之前，他们想要先听阎罗王回答他们的两个问题。
First, they want to know, is he really the supreme authority in Or is there somebody superior to him?
第一个问题就是阎罗王究竟是不是至尊的权威，还是说有人比他更加的有更高的地位？
And they also want to know who the Vishnu Dutas are.
其次，他们还想知道 Vishnu Duta 究竟是谁。
And so now Yamaraj is going to speak and answer their questions.
而现在在这个世界中，阎罗王就要开始回答他们的问题了。
And so, text 12.
我们再一起看十二世界。
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Okay, so I'll do the Sanskrit, and then we'll do the word-for-word translation and purport.
我们就一起来看着梵文的诗节、字对字的翻译以及译文和要旨。
Yama Uvacha Paro Madanyo Yagata Tushtacha.Otam protam, otavadyatravishvam, yad asato shastiti janmanasa, nasyotavadyasya vishechaloka, yama uvacha.
阎罗王说道
Para,
地位更高
Mat,
比我
Anya,
另一个
Jagata
所有动的
Tashusha
不动的
Cha
和
Otam
交错
Protam
纵横的
Patavat
像一块织布
Yatra
在什么什么之中
Vishvam
宇宙战士
Yat
什么什么的
Amshata
从部分扩展
Asya
这宇宙的
Stiti
维系
Janma
创造
Nasha
毁灭
Nasi
在鼻子中
Otavat
像绳子
Yasya
什么什么的
Vashe
受控制
Cha
和
Loka
整个创造、
oh, We have these two words Otam Protam、
有这两个词 Otam Protam
Yeah, these words we find in different verses in the Bhagavatam and even the Vedas to describe the absolute truth
而这个 Otam Protam 这两个词在圣殿博迦瓦坛的其他地方并且在其他的伟达经当中的话呢都用来去描述绝对真理
Yeah, so it's another name for the Supreme Lord You can call him Otam Protam
所以这是至尊主的另一个名字我们可以用 Otam Protam 来称呼至尊主
Yeah, so Yeah, those are the the threads that go up and down and across that hold everything together.
所以这个 autumn proton 指的就是像那种十字一样的这种线或者线或对，然后像十字一样的交错，然后就把所有的一切都连接在一起。
Okay, translation and purport.
我们来看译文和要旨。
Yamaraj said, "My dear servants, you have accepted me as the supreme, but factually I'm not. Above me, and above all other demigods, including Chandra, including Indra and Chandra, is the one supreme master and controller. The partial manifestation of his personality are Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, who are in charge of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this universe. He is like two threads that form the length and breadth of a woven cloth. The entire world is controlled by him, just as a bull is controlled by a rope in its nose."
你们将我视为至尊者，但其实我不是。在我之上，在包括天地、Indra和月亮神、Chandra在内的所有其他半神人的上面，是至尊的主人和控制者。他个人的部分展示是负责创造、维系及毁灭这个宇宙的Brahma、Vishnu和Shiva。他恰似一块编织布上纵横交错的两根线，整个世界仿佛 鼻子上拴着根绳子的公牛一样，受他的控制。I continue with purport.
Yeah, yes, please.
Okay. 要旨，阎罗王的命令执行官们猜测，世上有一个甚至比阎罗王还要更高的统治者。为去除他们的疑惑，阎罗王立刻回答道：“是的，在一切之上有一位至高无上的控制者。阎罗王负责掌管一些动的生物体，人类，但 动物类也能动的生物体就不归他管，只有人类具有辨别对错的知觉状态，而在他们之中，只有从事最活动的人才被他带到他的管辖范围内。因此，尽管阎罗王是一位控制者，但他只是掌管少数生物体的一个部门主管。世上还有许多主管其他部门的其他半神人。 但在他们全体之上的是一位至尊的控制者Krishna。Brahma Samhita中说，至尊的控制者是Krishna。负责掌管宇宙中其他事物的其他半神人，与至尊控制者Krishna相比都微不足道。在《薄伽梵歌》第七章的第七节诗中，Krishna 说：“赢得财富的人呐，我是至高无上的真理。” 就这样，阎罗王通过证实在所有其他主管之上有一位至尊控制者这一事实，立刻清除了他的助手亚麻都他们心中的疑惑。圣 Madhvacharya 解释说，纵横交错 autumn proton 意思是指一切原因的起因。至尊主在宇宙展示中既是纵向的，也是横向的展示。就有关这一点，Skanda往事书 以如下的诗文证实说，正如纵横交错的两条线编织出一块织布，主 Vishnu 就是宇宙展示中纵横交错的原因。要旨结束 ，end of report.
Thank you. Okay. Om Aganatami Vandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurvan Militam Yena Tasmain Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimakte Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakapa Turubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Bevacha, Patitanam Pavanivyo, Vaishnavevyo, Namo Namaha. May all living beings be happy.
Yes, 所有的生命体都快乐。
May all living beings be free of suffering.
愿所有的生命体都不再受苦。
And may all living beings awaken and discover their true self and their relationship with Krishna.
愿所有的生命体都得以觉醒，觉醒到他们真正的自我以及与 Krishna 之间永恒的关系。
And Krishna is also known as Uttam Pratham.
Krishna 也被知晓，也被称作为 Uttam Pratham.
Yeah, everything in creation depends on him.
创造之中的所有一切万事万物都依赖于他。
So, Yamaraj is now finally beginning to speak in this story.
阎罗王现在终于开始谈论这个故事了。
And so, very clearly and distinctly, he has answered the first question raised by the Yamadutas.
就在这个细节中，他非常清晰地回答了 Yamaduta 们提到的第一个问题。
Because they asked him, is there an authority superior to you? Because, you know, we were stopped from executing our duty.
他们就问到，是不是有比你更高的权威呢？因为我们都被阻拦下来，不能去执行自己的职责。
Yeah, so Yamaraj, he answers this very clearly without any doubt.
然后因此在这个世界中，阎罗王就非常清晰地给予了回答，然后不会引起任何的怀疑和质疑和困惑。
He says to the Yamadutas, you may have thought that I was the supreme authority, but I'm not.
他对亚马杜他们说，你们可能认为我是至尊的权威，但是实际上我不是。
And just to make clear who's the supreme, he says not even Indra or Chandra are the supreme. They also are not independent.
然后并且他为了更清晰的去解释的话，他还提到了天帝 Indra 和月亮神 Chandra 的，都说到他们二位都不是至尊的权威，他们也不是独立存在的。
And then he goes on to say, not even Brahma, Vishnu, or Shiva are the supreme.
然后他继续说到，甚至连 Brahma, Vishnu 和 Shiva 都不是至尊的权威。
Of course, we understand that Vishnu is not a demigod.
当然我们明白主 Vishnu 并不是一位半神人。
But he takes the position of the maintainer of the material world. So for some, he appears to be a demigod.
但是由于主 Vishnu 他承担起了这个维系物质宇宙的职责，因此对看起来就仿佛他像是一位半神人一样。
And Brahma and Vishnu and Shiva are considered partial manifestations of the supreme.
主 Brahma, Vishnu 和 Shiva 就被看作是至尊主的个人的部分展示。
Brahma is the creator.
Brahma 是创造者。
And Vishnu is the maintainer.
主 Vishnu 是维系者。
And Shiva is the destroyer.
而 Shiva 则是毁灭的半神人。
So of course, now these days in India, the positions of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, everyone thinks they're all the same, they're equal.
当然在目前的印度的话呢，几乎很多人都认为主 Brahma, Vishnu 和 Shiva 他们的地位都是同等的，他们都是一样的。
Unless they're part of the, you know, our disciplic succession, they may not have accurate information about God.
所以除非一个人是属于我们这个使徒传系当中的，否则的话就很有可能对于神没有这种抱有正确的恰当的信息。
So in the Hindu culture, which is all over India, there's a system called Panchopasana.
Panchopasana, 然后在这个印度教的文化中，也就是在整个印度社会当中的话呢，有这个叫做 Panchopasana 的一个体系，一个系统。
Yeah, the worship of five gods.
也就是崇拜五位神的这样一个对崇拜的一个体系。
Yeah, so Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Kali, or Durga, and Ganesh.
所以这五位神就是主 Brahma, Vishnu 和 Shiva, 以及 Kali 女神，也就是 Durga 女神，还有就是主 Ganesh。
And culturally, you know, generally speaking, all the Indians, the Hindus are taught that these are five gods and they're all equal.
然后总的来说，就是所有印度教的教徒都被教导为这五位神都是平等的。
Because they say that ultimately the absolute truth is not a person.
因为他们说，因为归根结底，至尊绝对真理并不是一个人。
But when the material world was created by the impersonal Brahman, the impersonal Brahman manifests as these five gods.
当物质世界被这个非人格的非人格的 Brahman。给创造出来的时候，这个非人格的梵，非人格的 Brahman 也就展现为这五位神。
Yeah, so they say that when the material world is manifest, then these five gods are manifest, and when the material world becomes unmanifest, then these five gods are disappear.
因此他们就说，当物质世界展现的时候，这五位神就展现出来了；而当物质世界没有展现的时候，这五位神也就消失了。
So Brahma is the creator, Vishnu the maintainer, Shiva the destroyer, Kali the, you know, the controller of the material world, and then Ganesh, you know, gives you blessings.
所以说主 Brahma 就是这个物质世界的创造者， Vishnu 是维系者， Shiva 是毁灭者， Kali 女神是物质世界的掌控者，然后主 Ganesh 就是一位给予你祝福赐福给你的这样一位伴神人。
Yeah, so if you go into a Hindu home, for generations their family has maybe worshipped only Durga or only Shiva or only Vishnu or only Brahma.
所以如果我们去拜访一位印度教徒的家庭的话呢，就会看到他们是代代相传的，就是只是去崇拜这五位神当中的其中一位，就比如说可能只崇拜 Durga 女神，或者只崇拜 Kali, 然后或者是只崇拜主 Vishnu 等等。
And they'll also tell you that it doesn't matter who you worship because they're all the same God.
并且他们也会告诉你，就是说你具体崇拜哪一位神并不重要，因为他们归根结底都是一样的。
Because ultimately God is impersonal.
因为从根本来说神是非人格的。
Because all form is temporary.
因为所有的形体都是短暂的。
Therefore the ultimate truth must be formless.
因此绝对真理肯定是没有形体的。
Of course, so in this way, you know, most, you know, the Hindu culture itself has been influenced by this Mayavadi teaching that goes back to Shankaracharya.
所以说整个这个印度教的这种文化，它就受到了 Mayavadi, 受到了假象宗的教导的影响，然后整个可以追溯到香杰罗的那个时代。
And so they don't, many Indians are very confused about the differences, you know, between Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva.
因此许多印度人的话呢，他们对于这些神之间的区别，对于 Brahma, Vishnu, 和 Shiva 之间的区别是非常困惑的。
So therefore, they'll tell you it doesn't matter, you know, which name you chant. If you chant the name of Brahma, or you chant the name of Vishnu, or Krishna, or Shiva, it doesn't matter because they're all the same.
因此他们会对你说，你具体念诵哪一位神的名字并不一点都不要紧的。然后你是念诵主 Brahma 的名字，或者念诵 Shiva 的名字，或者念诵主 Vishnu 的名字都不重要，反正他们都是一样的。
Of course, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, we know that they're not all the same.
当然由于帕帕和其他 Acharya 的仁慈，我们知道当然这些神是不一样的。
And we also know that it's the second offense in chanting to consider the name of Brahma and Vishnu and Shiva to be equal.
并且我们也知道在念诵的十项冒犯当中的第二项冒犯，那就是去认为半神人的名字，比如说 Brahma, Shiva 和 Vishnu, 和 Brahma, Shiva 的圣名是和主的圣名是平等的，这是第二项冒犯。
So it appears that even in, you know, the kingdom of Yamaraj, not everyone is aware that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
因此看起来就是甚至是在阎罗王的王国当中都并不是每一个人知道主 Vishnu 是至尊人格首神。
Yeah, the Yamadutas didn't know that.
这 Yamaduta 很明显并不知道是这么一回事。
Now Yamaraj is explaining that I'm a controller, but my control is limited to just a few living entities.
在这里阎罗王就在解释到，我确实是一位控制者，但是的话呢，属于我的控制范围内的就只是一些生命体而已。
Yeah, in the universe there are, you know, beyond count, you can't count how many living entities there are.
在整个宇宙当中，我们是根本无法去数清楚究竟有多少生物体的存在。
And Yamaraj, he's only concerned with the human beings.
而阎罗王他的管辖范围就只是和人类有关。
Because the human beings have developed enough consciousness to be able to discriminate between right and wrong.
因为人类已经发展出了足够的知觉，能够得以来辨识对与错。
Right. Even on our planet, there are so many greater numbers of insects and birds and animals and trees and plants, and they're all living beings and different types of temporary forms. But there's, comparatively speaking, there's only a few human beings.
甚至即使是在我们这个星球上，都有超过人类数量的这么多的昆虫啊、花草啊、树木啊，然后其他种类的这种动物或者微生物等等，然后所以说人类的数量其实在这个星球上都不是说是最多的。
And Yamaraj, he's only concerned with those human beings that break the laws of God.
而阎罗王他的职责只是和那些打破了破坏了神的法律规则的这些人类有关。
So, you know, looking at it from this point of view, we see that Indra's jurisdiction or authority is relatively small.
You mean Yamaraj's authority is relatively small?
Yeah, his jurisdiction, what he has control over, what he has authority over is a small part of the creation.
因此从这个观点来看，我们就可以知晓阎罗王的权威以及他的管辖职责管辖范围的话呢，相对来说实际上是一个比较小的一个部分的。
Yeah, so he says, no, I'm not the supreme controller, but there is a supreme independent controller.
阎罗王就在这里说到，我不是至尊的控制者，而确实是有一个至尊的独立的控制者的存在的。
Yeah, and he's like Otam Protam. He's like the two threads that form the length and breadth of a cloth.
然后他说到至尊主就是 Otam Protam, 就像是这个织布上的两根纵横交错的线一样。
Yeah, so he says everyone is controlled by him, even the demigods.
他就说到每一个人都是受到这位至尊控制者的掌管控制的，甚至是半神人都是受他的控制。
Except for him, everyone else is like a bull that has a ring in its nose, you know, with a rope tied to it that's tied to a stake.
二，所以说，所有的一切都像是一头公牛，这头公牛的鼻子上就是被拴了一根绳子一样的被控制着，所以所有的这一切都像这头被拴了绳子的公牛一样受他的掌管。
And then in the purport, Prabhupada quotes from the very first verse of Brahma Samhita.
在要旨中，帕帕也引用了就是 Brahma Samhita 当中的诗节。
And there, in the very first verse of Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma, he claims that Krishna is the supreme independent controller.
在 Brahma Samhita 当中的最开头的那个诗节，主 Brahma 就说到，就声称到 Krishna 是至尊的、独立的控制者。
Yeah, so Brahma, he's the supreme authority in the universe, so whatever he says we can know is true.
而主 Brahma 是宇宙当中的至尊的这个权威，至高的权威，因此无论他说什么，我们就能够明白，那绝对就是正确的。
He says that I'm not the supreme controller, Krishna is.
他说我不是至尊的控制者，而只有 Krishna 才是。
So he says, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karna Karanam. He says, the supreme controller is Krishna.
在 Brahma Samhita 当中他说到至尊的控制者是 Krishna.
So in this sense, he's saying he's even Krishna is superior to Vishnu.
从这个角度来说，可以说，从这个角度来看，我们都会知道 ，Krishna 甚至比主 Vishnu 还要更高一层。
Of course, Krishna and Vishnu are the same.
当然 ，Krishna 和 Vishnu 是一样的。
But Krishna, he is the original personality of Godhead.
但是 ，Krishna 才是原初的至尊人格首身。
Just like you have many candles and they're all the same.
就像是比如说你有很多的蜡烛，所有的这些蜡烛的话长得都是一模一样的。
They're all equally, they all appear the same.
他们看起来都是一样的。
But one candle originally lit all the others.
但是在所有的这些蜡烛当中，只有原初的第一根蜡烛才把所有其他的蜡烛给点燃了。
Yeah, so sometimes when we're talking about the difference, the distinction between Krishna and Vishnu, we have this example of candles is given.
因此有时当我们在谈论到 Krishna 和 Vishnu 之间的区别的时候，我们就会提到这个蜡烛的例子来说明二者的区别。
Or another way, we make a kind of a distinction between Krishna and Vishnu.Is when we read the Nectar of Devotion and read about the 64 qualities of Krishna.
而另一个来帮助我们了解 Krishna 和 Vishnu 之间的区别的方法，那就是去阅读《奉爱的甘露》。对，《奉爱的甘露》那本书当中所谈到的 Krishna 所具有的64项品质。
Vishnu has 60 qualities, and Krishna has 4 qualities that Vishnu doesn't manifest.
主 Vishnu 有60项品质，而 Krishna 则有另外的多出来的4项品质是主 Vishnu 没有展现出来的品质。
Of course, God is one. There's not many Vishnus or many Krishnas. There's one supreme God.
当然，神都是一。至尊神都只是一，不存在有许许多多的 Krishna 和许许多多的 Vishnu。至尊守神只有一。
But he expands himself unlimitedly.
但是的话呢，至尊主却是无限的扩展着他自己。
So the four qualities that Krishna has that Vishnu doesn't manifest, it's not that Vishnu can't, but he doesn't.
所以说。Krishna 所拥有的这个多出来的四项品质是主 Vishnu 没有展现出来的，倒并不是说主 Vishnu 没有这四项品质，只是他没有展现而已。
Krishna's form is the most beautiful.
Krishna 的形体是最最美丽的。
And he plays a flute.
并且他吹奏着笛子。
And he has intimate loving exchanges with his devotees.
并且他和他的奉献者有着非常亲密的充满爱的交流。
And one more, it's not coming to my mind. What else? There's something else Krishna does.
还有一项品质，姑姑现在想一想到底是啥。
I know one of you will write in and tell me.
这姑姑说你们要是知道的话就写上来告诉我是什么。
I think I've done this before in class.
姑姑说他之前也是上课的时候突然忘了，还是学生们提醒，大家提醒他才想起。
I'll have to look it up and get back to you. So, Krishna, he's even supreme, you know, supreme to Vishnu.
所以 Krishna 甚至比 Vishnu 还要更高。
Of course, other Vaishnavas may not agree.
当然，可能其他的 Vaishnava 并不同意这样的说法。
Like the followers of the other four Sampradayas, even the Madhva Sampradaya, they think that Vishnu and awe and reverence, that worship is supreme.
Is supreme. 对于其他的 Sampradaya, 其他的使徒传系来说，就比如说 Madhva 使徒传系 Madhva Sampradaya 来说，他们认为对于主 Vishnu 的这种充满敬意敬畏的这种崇拜才是至尊的崇拜。
Yeah, and if you look up Krishna in the, you know, in the English dictionary, the definition will be that he's the eighth incarnation of Vishnu.
The definition of Krishna, huh?
Yeah, if you look up Krishna in an English dictionary.
Oh, I see. Okay. 而如果要是我们去查阅这个英语的这个词典的话，都会看到对于 Krishna 的这个词的释义是在说 Krishna 是 Vishnu 的第八个化身。
Now, the whole point of the Bhagavatam, one of its purposes is to explain how Krishna is the source of Vishnu.
How Krishna is the source of Vishnu. 而整部圣典薄伽瓦坛的目的其意义之所在，就是要向阅读者解释到 Krishna 才是 Vishnu 的源头。
This is mentioned in the third chapter of Canto 1.
而这一点是在第一篇的瓦坛的第三章当中阐释到了。
Do you want to look that up? It's First Canto, Chapter 3, Verse 28.
所以说这就是圣典薄伽瓦坛的第一篇第三章的第28诗节。Yeah, I can only find the English version.
Okay. Ete chasam kalapumsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrarivya kalam lokam mridiyanti yuge yuge. So the Bhagavatam has just mentioned all the incarnations of Krishna, of God.
所以说薄伽瓦坛在这里就谈到了神的所有的化身。
And then this verse comes.
然后这个世界就出现了。
All the above mentioned incarnations are either planetary portions or portions of the planetary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets. Whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists, the Lord incarnates to protect the theists.
所以说 1.3.28, 所有在上面提到的化身要么是神，要么是主的整体展现，要么是主的整体展现的部分展现，但是主 Sri Krishna 才是原初的至尊人格首身，所有的化身展现在星球上。任何时候当有无神论者制造出 制造出这种不安的场面、不安的局面，那么这些化身就会展现在星球上，主化身下来来保护有神论者，来保护追随他、信仰他的人。嗯
，OK。Yeah, so this the Sanskrit words Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam mean Krishna is the original personality of Godhead.
所以在这个世界当中的第二排的梵文 Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam 意思也就是说主 Sri Krishna 才是原初的至尊人格首神。
So the Bhagavatam in this verse is saying that Krishna is even superior to Vishnu.
所以说博迦瓦坛的这个诗节都是在阐释到Krishna 甚至比主 Vishnu 还要更高。
And the rest of the Bhagavatam is to prove actually this verse, especially the 10th canto.
然后可以说其他的瓦坛都是为了来证明这个诗节，特别是第十篇的瓦坛。
And then, Jiva Goswami, he wrote what's called the Sandarvas, the six Sandarvas, called the Sat Sandarvas.
Sat Sandarva.
And all of those books, those six books, are also to prove that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
并且 Jiva Goswami, 他的著作就是六部 Sandarva, 这六本书著作都是在证明 Krishna 是至尊人格首神。
So in this way, he cites all the different Vedic literatures that support this truth that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
所以说Jiva Goswami 就在他的著作中引用了所有的伟达文献当中的这个证明来说明这个真理，那就是 Krishna 才是至尊人格首神。
So, Krishna also says the same thing in Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada quotes this famous verse from the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He quotes it in his purport.
并且 Krishna 在博迦梵歌当中也说了同样的话语，帕帕在要旨中引用了博迦梵歌的第七章的这个句子。
And so this is, you can look this up, this is from 7-7. Mata Parthanam Nanya Kinchin.Asti Dhananjaya Maye Sarvamidam Proktam Sutre Mani Ganaiva. So he just partially quotes it in the purport.
所以我们一起来看一下，就是《博迦梵歌》的第七章的第七诗节。然后帕帕在这个要旨中，他只是引用了这个诗节的部分，没有全部。
So you can read the whole verse.
Okay, 是7.7译文。财富的征服者呀，我是至高无上的真理，我是万物的一系，如线串珠。
Oh, did you already?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So here, Krishna says that he's like the thread that holds the pearls together on a necklace.
就是 Krishna 在这个世界中就说到，他就像是一根线一样，把这个所有的珍珠都穿在了这一根线上。
And we hear this, the word is, we see this word, proton.
我们就可以看到这个地方又出现了这个词 proton.
Yeah, proton sutra means this thread, horizontal thread that holds, pearls together.
就是说这里 proton sutra, 所以这个 sutra 然后就是指这样一根这个线。
Yeah, so just like otam proton, he's proton proton sutra.
所以说就像 otam proton 一样，在这里 Krishna 就说他是 proton sutra.
Yeah, So everything is, Krishna is the cause of all causes. He's the source of everything. So without him, nothing can exist.
所以说 Krishna 是一切原因的原因，是万事万物的源头。说如果没有他的话，是没有任何东西能够存在的。
Oh, okay. I found the four qualities of Krishna that Krishna manifests that Vishnu doesn't.
我现在终于找到了这个 Krishna 才展现出来的，而主 Vishnu 没有展现出来的四项品质。
So he has very intimate pastimes with his devotees.
第一项就是他和他的奉献者有着非常亲密的逍遥时光。
He's expert at playing a transcendental flute.
然后他是吹奏这个笛子的超然的这个吹奏出超然的笛音的专家。
And he's surrounded by loving devotees.
并且他被充满爱的奉献者包围着。
Yeah, so the devotees are there, but also the pastimes are there.
所以说在这里就是提到了奉献者，并且还有他的逍遥时光。
Yeah, so there's a distinction there, and it's easy to see how you could put those two together.
Sorry, Gumar, you didn't understand that sentence.
What I'm saying is, he has wonderful pastimes, but he also is surrounded by loving devotees.
所以说在这里提到的就是 Krishna 有着非常美妙的逍遥时光，但并且的话，他也被他的奉献者所包围着。
And he possesses unparalleled personal beauty.
并且Krishna 还拥有着至高无上的无与伦比的美。
So this is the only thing that distinguishes Krishna from Vishnu.
You mean those four qualities you just mentioned, right?
Yeah, right.
所以说刚才所提到的四项品质，那就是区别了 Krishna 和 Vishnu 之间的他们二者的不同的这四项品质，就是这四项品质做出了区别。
Yeah, so we shouldn't think that Vishnu and Krishna are different people.
我们不应该去认为 Vishnu 和 Krishna 是不同的人。
Right, there's only one God.
因为只有一个神嘛，只有一个至尊人格舍身。
One personality of God.
只有。One personality of Godhead, 只有一位人格至尊守神。
It's just like you're a person.
这就像是你是一个人。
Right? You have your own personal experience of life that no one else has.
你对你的人生有着你的个人的体验，而并不是其他人能够来体验到你的人生的。
Yet, when you go to work, you don't have intimate relationships with your coworkers, at least you shouldn't be.
但是的话，当你去上班的时候，你是不会跟你的同事有着这种非常亲密的爱的交流的。至少你不应该和你的同事有着非常亲密的爱的交流。
Yeah. But when you go home, you're the same person, but you have different, you know, relationships, and people call you by different names that they don't call you, you know, they don't call you that name at work.
而当你回到家的时候，你又和身边的家人有着不同的，当然是更加亲密的关系。你的家人对你的称呼和你的同事对你的称呼肯定是不一样的。
Yeah, so there's only one personality of Godhead.
所以说只有一位至尊人格守神。
But he manifests himself very differently according to his mood.
而他根据他的不同的这个心情，就展现出了不同的形象。
So here are the qualities of Vishnu that distinguishes Vishnu from the Jiva souls.
You're going to talk about the. Sorry, Gurmaj, you didn't catch that part.
So Vishnu is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
所以说 Vishnu 也是至尊人格守神。
He's the one independent Lord.
他是一位独立的守神。
And so the living entities, because they expand from God, also have qualities of God, but not completely.
而生命体他们是从至尊神那里扩展出来的，因此生物体也具有神的品质，但是只不是完全的全部的品质而已。
So the jiva soul has 50 qualities.
Oh, 50 qualities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
就是说个体灵魂 jiva 有50项品质。
Right, just like water. If you take any drop of water, wherever you go, water has the same quality H2O.
所以说就像是水一样的，就无论我们到达地球上的任何一个地方，然后在那地方所喝到的水，所看到的水的话，它都是同样的 H2O 的这样一个化学构成。
Right, or if you analyze the ray of the sun, it's got heat and light, just like the sun. But it's not the sun.
或者如果我们去分析太阳的光线，那么这个太阳的光线也就具有光和热的品质，这个和太阳是一样的，但是太阳光线并不是太阳。
Now Vishnu, I mean, Shiva has 55 qualities.
就 Shiva 有55项品质。
And Vishnu has 5 qualities that Shiva doesn't.
然后主 Vishnu 有五项品质是主希望没有具有没有展现出来的品质。
So, Vishnu, he's always situated in his original condition.
主 Vishnu 总是处于他的原初的位置的。
He knows everything.
他知晓所有的一切。
His body is ever fresh.
他的身体总是新鲜的，总是对新鲜的。
He's conversant. He's always blissful.
并且他总是极乐，充满极乐的。
He lives in Vaikuntha.
他居住在 Vaikuntha.
And he's the predominating deity in Vaikuntha.
他是 Vaikuntha 上的主要的神灵。
Yeah, so Lord Shiva, he doesn't live in Vaikuntha.
而主 Shiva 并没有住在 Vaikuntha 上。
Vishnu's qualities are inconceivable.
并且 Vishnu 的品质是令人难以想象，难以去体会的。
He sustains innumerable universes.
主 Vishnu 维系着无以计数的宇宙。
Vishnu is the seed of all incarnations.
All incarnations.
Yeah, all incarnations come from Vishnu.
而 Vishnu 是所有的化身的种子，所有的化身都来源于主 Vishnu.
Right, like Lord Boar or Matsya.
Matsya,
right? Or the fish.
就像是那个雄猪的那位神，还有那条鱼 Matsya, 对，都是来源于他。
Now here's a quality that Lord Vishnu has that Shiva doesn't have.
而这里是所谈到的，就是主 Shiva 所具有的品质，而Vishnu 没有具有的品质。
Only Lord Vishnu can grant liberation.
Oh, sorry, Guru Maharaj, I misunderstood. So, this is only Lord Vishnu has, but Lord Shiva doesn't have.
Yeah.
我刚才说反了，是在这里所谈到的，就只有主 Vishnu 才展现出来的品质，而主 Shiva 是没有的品质，那就是 only Vishnu can grant liberation.
Yeah.
所以说这个品质就是只有Vishnu 才能给予解脱，而 Shiva 是不能给予解脱的。
See now, Shiva's body is eternal and his abode is eternal.
主 Shiva 他的身体是永恒的，他的居所也是永恒的。
But he doesn't live in Vaikuntha and he can't grant liberation and he doesn't sustain innumerable universes. And incarnations don't come from Lord Shiva.
但是的话，主希瓦他并没，他并不能给予解脱，他也并没有住在白昆塔上，他并没有像主维什努那样在维系着无以计数的宇宙。
And another quality Vishnu has that Lord Shiva doesn't have is that self-realized persons, they are more attracted to Lord Vishnu than they are to Lord Shiva.
然后我们接下来再来谈到主 Vishnu 所具有的所展现出来的一种品质而是 Shiva 没有的品质那就是自我觉悟的个体灵魂会更加被主 Vishnu 吸引。
So in this way, Nectar of Devotion analyzes, you know, the distinction between the Jiva, between Lord Shiva, between Lord Vishnu, and between Lord Krishna.
所以说在《奉爱的甘露》这本书当中 ,Jiva Goswami 就分析了这个个体灵魂 Jiva 和 Shiva 和 Vishnu 和 Krishna 之间他们所有这些之间的这种区别是什么。
But we shouldn't think, you know, that Vishnu and Krishna are different from each other. They're the same one person.
same one person. 我们不应该认为 Vishnu 和 Krishna 是两个人。他们不是两个人啊。Vishnu 和 Krishna 是同一个人。
It's just God's different moods.
所以说这只是神不同的心情而已。
Just like when the gopis were, you know, when Krishna left the Rasa dance and they were looking for Krishna and they were looking all over the forest trying to find Krishna.
这就像是当 Krishna 离开了 Rasa 舞的之后，然后所有的 gopi 姑娘们就开始到处寻找 Krishna， 就在整个森林里到处去寻找 Krishna 跑哪去了。
It was almost like a game of hide and seek.
这就甚至有点像是这个躲迷藏的这个游戏一样。
Which is so much fun, isn't it? To play hide and seek.
所以这个躲迷藏这个捉迷藏嘛，就是咱们去一个人躲，一个人去寻找，这个游戏是真的很好玩，对吧？
Krishna's hiding from the gopis.
Krishna 把他自己藏起来，不让 gopi 姑娘们找到。
And Radharani was getting very close.
Radharani 基本上都快要找到他了。
So what did Krishna do?
然后接下来 Krishna 干了什么呢？
He assumed the form of Lord Vishnu.
然后 Krishna 就展现出了主 Vishnu 的样子。
And then Radharani sees Lord Vishnu and starts asking Lord Vishnu, "Have you seen Krishna?"
然后当 Radharani 看到 Vishnu 的时候，他就问 Vishnu， 哎，你有没有见到 Krishna 呢？
And at that point, Radharani's love almost defeated Krishna. He almost could not hold that form of Vishnu. He almost turned back into the form of Krishna.
然后在那一刻，就是当他们俩相见的时候，就是 Radharani 的那个爱，就真的可以说几乎都要打败 Krishna 了。因为在那一刻，就是 Krishna 都已经忍不住，都快要就忍不住，就是他不是假装成，就是展现成是 Vishnu 的样子嘛。但是他那一刻都忍不住，就快要再次的转变成他原本的 Krishna 的样子。
Yeah, so Lord Chaitanya, he was very fond of this deity of Vishnu.
主 Chaitanya 是非常喜欢主 Vishnu 的这一神像的。
Yeah, so this particular deity of Vishnu is Krishna hiding from Radharani in the form of Vishnu.
in the form of Vishnu. 所以说这一个主 Vishnu 的特别的神像就专门是 Krishna 躲着 Radharani， 然后就是这个展现成是主 Vishnu 的这个形体、这个形象的这个神像，对，就是主 Chaitanya 非常喜欢、非常钟爱的神像。
So this this famous deity is there in a town called Alanat, which is about 20 miles away from Jagannath Puri.
This deity is a there 20 miles away from Jagannath Puri.
Yeah, Lord Chaitanya used to go there. He would spend time there and worship that deity when Lord Jagannath was, kept away for 2 weeks before the Rath Yatra.
所以说就是曾经的话呢，主蔡坦尼亚就会，对，我刚才忘说一句，那就是这个维希努的特别的神像是被安放在就是距离加格纳的普瑞20英里的地方一座神庙里，然后主蔡坦尼亚曾经就会去到这个庙这儿去崇拜维希努的这一个神像，就是在这个主加格纳特他被就是在主加格纳特的那个 Rata Yatra 他的那个弹车节之前的两个星期，不是主加格纳特就无法去接受众人的这种崇拜的时候呢，他就会隐藏起来的那一段两个星期的时间，就柴坦尼亚就会这样去崇拜 Vishnu 的那尊神像。
Yes, say Lord Chaitanya, he would visit Lord Jagannath every day.
主柴坦尼亚会每一天都去拜访主加格纳特。
And when Lord Jagannath, just before the Rath Yatra, he gets sick and no one can see him for 2 weeks.
就在这个Rath Yatra 这个弹车节之前的时候，主 Jagannath 就会生病，就所以他生病的那两个星期的话呢，就没有任何人能够见到他。
And then they have the pastime of Rath Yatra.
然后的话呢，过了这两个星期，就有这个弹车节 Rata Yatra 的这个逍遥时光了。
So during those 2 weeks, Lord Chaitanya would be in so much separation that he would go to Alanat and worship this special devotee of Lord, this special deity of Lord Vishnu.
然后在这两周的时间内，主 Chaitanya 就会感受到极大的分离之情，就是和这个主 Jagannath 分开了嘛，于是他就会去到这个 Ananar 的这个地方，就是离那个20英里的地方，然后去崇拜主 Vishnu 的这一尊很特别的神像。
But when Lord Chaitanya would look at this deity of Vishnu with four arms, he actually wasn't looking at Lord Vishnu, he was looking at Krishna hiding from Radharani.
Hiding from Radharani. 而当主 Chaitanya 他看到主 Vishnu 的这一尊特别的神像的时候，这个四臂形象的时候，他其实并不是看着 Vishnu 的，而他是看着在躲藏着Radharani 的 Krishna 的那个形象。
Yeah, so when Lord Chaitanya saw this devote, saw this deity of Lord Vishnu, it didn't awaken in him, Aishwarya Ras, worship of Lord Vishnu and awe and reverence.
Awake that worship of Lord Vishnu with awe and reverence.
No. It actually awakened his Madhurya Ras of the love between Radha and Krishna.
Madhurya Rasa between them. 因此当主 Chaitanya 他看着这个 Vishnu 的这尊特别的神像的时候，他的内心并没有被唤醒，就是对于崇拜主 Vishnu 的那种就是敬畏的心情，不是的，他实际上他的内心就是说是所被唤醒的是这种 Madhurya Rasa, 就是 Radharani 和 Krishna 之间的这种爱侣之间的这种爱意就被唤醒了。
So back to the most significant point of today's verse is that there is one supreme personality of Godhead, Otam Protam.
所以我们回过头来谈论今天这个诗节的最重要的一点，那就是有这个 Otam Protam, 有这样一位至尊人格守神的存在。
And this is very important for everyone to know.
而这对于每一个人来说都是至关重要的必须要了解到的一点。
Yeah, the relative distinction between Vishnu and Krishna, that's not so important in the lower stages.
Lower stages of what?
Well, in the beginning of, to begin bhakti, you have to know that there's one supreme personality of Godhead.
Okay, I see. In the beginning part of bhakti, it's not very important to know the relative distinction between Vishnu and Krishna, right? 所以说在这个 bhakti 奉为瑜伽的休息的初始阶段要去知晓 Vishnu 和 Krishna 之间的这种他们二者之间的区别就并不是那么重要的。
Yeah, because first we have to know that there's one supreme person, one independent, you know, cause of all causes. Then we can begin bhakti.
明白了。因为首先我们要了解到的是只有一位至尊人格守神的存在，只有这样一位独立的独立的所有的源头的源头的这样一位人格神的存在，而后我们才能够真正的开始 bhakti 的修行。
So, you know, this is exemplified in the pastime of Gajendra.
Gajendra. 而这个的话呢，就通过 Gajendra 的这个逍遥时光被说明了。
Because Gajendra, he didn't have a clear idea of who the personality of Godhead was or what he's like.
Gajendra 当时在逍遥时光当中 ，Gajendra 他并不是很清楚的了解，就是谁是至尊人格守神，然后或者这个至尊人格守神是怎样的一个人，他并对此并没有清晰的概念。
But he did understand that there is one supreme cause of all causes.
但是他确实知道，那只有一个至尊的源头的源头，对，只有一个至尊的所有源头的源头存在。
And that's who he was worshiping, even though he didn't know who it was.
所以这就是Gajendra是崇拜的这样一个神，即便他还并不知晓这个人，这个神是谁。
Therefore, Lord Vishnu appeared, because Lord Vishnu is the cause of all causes.
然后因此主 Vishnu 就出现在他的面前，因为 Vishnu 就是所有源头的源头，所有原因的原因。
And so Prabhupada, he mentions in this pastime that this is the beginning of bhakti, when one comes to this point of accepting that there is one supreme authority.
Supreme authority. 所以说帕帕在那个要旨当中就说到，当一个人开始接受有一个至尊的源头存在的时候，那么这就是 bhakti 的开始。
And therefore, Prabhupada explains that anyone in any condition can pray to the Supreme Lord. If he knows his position, that I am not the Lord, that there is one Supreme Lord, anyone can pray with feeling to the Lord and the Lord will reciprocate.
所以说帕帕就解释到任何一个人处于任何一种状况，任何一个位置的任何一个人，只要他带着感情向主祈祷，因为他知晓他的位置，所谓他知晓他的位置，就是指他知道有至尊的主的存在，而他自己并不是至尊的主。那么当他有这样一种清晰的认识的时候，当他能够带着情感来向主祈祷的时候，那么主就会相应的来回应他，来回报他。
So it appears that the Yamadutas didn't know that there was one supreme cause of all causes. They thought that Yamaraj was.
所以说看起来亚玛都塔们他们并不知晓有这个至尊的万源之源的存在，而他们好像是认为是阎罗王他们的主人才是至高的权威。
So we can see how fortunate the Yamadutas are.
所以说我们可以看到真的 Yamaduta 们是多么的幸运啊。
Right, they tried to arrest Ajamil.
他们试图去逮捕阿加米勒。
They heard him chant the holy name.
然后并且他们也听到了阿加米勒练出了圣名。
Then they got the association of the Vishnu Dutas.
然后他们又有了 Vishnu Duta 们的联谊。
Then they went to Yamaraj.
然后他们去见他们的主人阎罗王。
And they chanted the holy name.
又再次的在阎罗王面前念出了主的圣名。
Yamaraj becomes very pleased.
然后就取悦了阎罗王。
They also want to know about the pure devotees of the Lord.
并且他们还向阎罗王打听，就是主的纯粹的奉献者是谁。
And now they're actually receiving pure transcendental knowledge called Sambandhagya.
而现在他们在这个世界中就真的是在接受真正的知识了，这就被称为 Sambandhagya.
Yeah, Sambandha means relationship, and Jnana means knowledge.
Sambandha 的意思就是指关系，而 Jnana 的意思就是指知识。
So we need this knowledge in order to begin bhakti.
因此我们必须要具备这样的知识才能真正开始 bhakti.
We need to know our position.
我们需要知道自己的位置。
Which is, we are not supreme, there is one supreme.
那我们的位置就是我们并不是至尊的，而这世界上确实是有至尊的人格守神的存在。
And if we know that, then we can sincerely pray with feeling, and that one supreme will reciprocate with us.
而如果我们知晓自己的位置，并且我们带着情感来向主祈祷，那么这位至尊人格守神就会相应的回应我们，回报我们。
And now,The Yamadutas are receiving this pure transcendental knowledge from Yamaraj, their master.
而现在在瓦坛的这个世界中所谈到的就是Yamaduta们在从阎罗王那里获得这门至尊的超然的知识。
So this is very important knowledge for all conditioned souls to come to this point where they receive thistranscendental knowledge of understanding. I'm not the supreme, there is one supreme person, not just some impersonal source.
所以说这对于所有的受物质世界制约的个体灵魂来说，这个知识是至关重要的，就是大家能够，就是所有的生命体能够真正到达这一点，能够明白自己不是至尊的存在，而确实是有至尊人格守神的存在，而至尊神并不是非人格的一个什么源头而已。
Yeah, now anyone who reads any one of Prabhupada's books gets this knowledge right away.
而任何一个人只要开始阅读帕帕的任何一本书，都会立刻收获这样的一个理解。
So,You know, we're kind of used to it. Sometimes we take it for granted, but we're so fortunate to have this knowledge. And anyone who reads one of Prabhupada's books gets the same good fortune.
所以说可以说我们真的是太幸运了，能够得到这样的理解，这样的知识。因为我们可能觉得太习惯了，就是帕帕的书，因为经常读到嘛，然后就觉得想当然的，自然而然就是这么一回事儿。但实际上并非如此，我们真的是非常非常的幸运。任何一个人开始阅读帕帕的书的话呢，都会有同样的幸运，都会收获同样的幸运，都能够拥有真正的正确的理解。
So, I think I'll end there today, and I'll just open it up for any questions or comments.
Okay. I think there are maybe questions coming. Yeah. 所以说今天的这个主课讲完了，大家如果有问题的话呢，或者是有分享的话呢，就可以发上来。Okay, Guru Maharaj, I think there are two questions.
Okay.
Okay. 好，我们看到有两个问题，我们来一一的回答。第一个是意男妈他姐所说的，亲爱的 Guru， 深深的顶拜您，请问如何理解 Krishna 完美的安排？在没成为奉献者之前，我们生活中发生的一切事情是 Krishna 的安排，还是过往活动业力因果的显现呢？ Krishna 是根据我们的愿力安排，还是主动安排？在发生的事情当中，我们是否有自由意志可以做出选择，还是无条件的接受？如何平衡 Krishna 完美的安排和自由意志选择权之间的关系？例如关于奉献者借钱仪式是 Krishna 安排的吗？借还是不借？如何做出恰当的选择？
Okay, so Guru Maharaj, Inan Mataji here is asking several questions in a row.
So you want me to read you all of them all together or one after another? Yeah, kind of related.
Okay, let's hear it all and then if I forget, you can remind me.
Okay, so she's asking then how to understand Krishna's perfect arrangement. So before we became devotees, were all the things in our life arranged by Krishna or just the manifestation of our past karma? She's asking this before we became, prior to devotee bhakti yoga. So all the things in our life are just the karma or arrangement by karma, arrangement by Krishna, or it's Krishna arranged our life according to our will. Or he just did it with his initiative to arrange our life. And the second part is regarding all the things that have happened. Do we actually have free will that we can make a choice, or we just have to accept unconditionally? And the third one is how to balance the perfect arrangement of Krishna and the free will that we can make a choice. For example, the devotee asking to borrow money from me, is that actually Krishna's arrangement? Should I lend the money to the devotee or not? How to make a proper choice?
These are very good questions.
您问的这些问题也是非常棒的问题。
Yeah, so first, you know, karma is, in one sense, very impersonal.
从一个角度来看，业报或者叫业力，可以说业力是非常非人格的。
Because basically the soul is asleep.
因为基本上个体灵魂是属于沉睡的状态。
And dreaming.
就像做梦一样的这种深睡眠做梦的状态。
So when you're dreaming, do you have any control over your dream?
那么当你在睡觉做梦的时候，你能够去控制你的梦里面发生的事情吗？
Or it's just the dream itself, one thing leads to another.
还是说在你的梦境里面，就是这一件事情，然后又接着引发下一件事情，然后下件事情又接着引发下下一件事情。
Yeah, so as we go through different lifetimes, the soul is dreaming that it's existing independent of the Lord.
因此在我们经历着许许多多不同的身世的经历中，我们的灵魂，个体灵魂就总是处于这样的一种梦境。他们在梦境里面认为自己是独立于神而单独存在的。
And actually, it's just the modes of nature that are interacting and carrying the soul.
而实际上这一切就是梦境当中的一切，就只是物质自然三重属性彼此之间的互动而已。然后正是物质自然的三重属性，这个承载着个体灵魂，把个体灵魂从这个身体带到下一个身体，从这一段经历带到下一段经历。
Krishna explains this in chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita, verse 27.
Krishna 在薄伽梵歌的第三章的第二十七诗节就解释到了这一点。
Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha.Aham karabhi muratma kartaham iti manyate. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of the false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature.
3.27, 受假我迷惑的灵性的灵魂误以为自己是活动的作为者。殊不知活动实际上是由物质自然三形态引起，由物质自然三形态完成。
Yeah, so, you know, when we're in the womb of our mother, we're basically unconscious.
就当我们还处在母亲的子宫里的时候，可以说我们基本上就是完全没有知觉的。
And it doesn't, until we're about age 2 or 3, we don't even have an awareness of ourself as a person.
实际上是直到我们2、3岁之前的这段时间，就从子宫一直到2到3岁的时间，我们都可以说是没有这个对自我的觉知的，就不知道自己是作为一个人，一个个体的存在。
Yeah, we don't even respond to our name.
然后如果有人叫我们的名字的话，在这个时期我们都完全不会有任何的反应。
And then gradually we develop this false ego with a name and a personality.
然后渐渐的我们就发展出了这个有这个名字的，有这些人格的这个虚假的自我了。
And everything we experience, we interpret based on this false sense of self.
而我们所经历所体验到的一切，我们都是根据这个虚假的自我感觉来解读来理解的。
Right, we get angry when we don't get what we want.
就比如说当我们没有得到自己想要的东西的时候就感到很愤怒。
We feel afraid if somebody criticizes us.
然后如果有人批评我们的话我们就会很害怕。
Yeah, so we're experiencing life and making all kinds of choices and decisions based on, the illusion of who we think we are.
因此我们所做出的所有的选择和决定都是基于我们对自己是怎样的一个人的这种幻觉，是基于这种幻觉，基于我是谁的幻觉来做出选择和决定的。
Yeah, so the false ego is part of the modes of material nature.
而假我就是物质自然三形态的一部分。
Yeah, so we think that we're deciding, but really it's just our conditioning, our software.
我们认为是自己在做出决定，但实际上是我们所受到的物质自然的影响，是我们虚假的自我在做出决定。
Yeah, so the karma in the universe is designed in such a way that gradually the soul begins to awaken.
我们的业报或者是物质宇宙就被设计成这样的一种方式，就是为了促使个人我们能得以逐渐的、慢慢的从梦境当中苏醒过来。
Yeah, and we start to be able to put ourselves in another person's shoes.
我们能够开始站到别人的角度来观看、来了解整个事情。
And then when we're spiritually awake enough, we begin to follow the golden rule.
而当我们在灵性上有了足够的觉醒的时候，我们就会开始遵循这个黄金法则。
In truth, we are not separate from anyone or from God, and whatever we do, you know, benefits or hurts ourselves and everyone equally.
所以说，而这个黄金法则就是。在事实当中我们从来没有和任何人从来没有和神有过任何的分离，并且我们所做的所有的一切我们对 并且我们所做出的所有的一切那么对于自己和对于他人都是有同等程度的益处或者说是同等程度的害处的。
Yeah, the golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
所以这个黄金法则就说是以你希望被对待的方式来对待别人。
Right, when we don't do that, we suffer.
当我们没有这样去遵循这个黄金法则的时候，当我们没有以希望自己被对待的法则来对待别人的时候，那么我们就会受苦。
Right, you stick your hand in the fire and you get burned.
这就像是你如果把手伸进火里，你肯定会被火给烫着。
It's quite impersonal.
所以这实际上是非常非人格的。
But when you begin bhakti,
但是当你开始了 bhakti 的修习的时候，
you begin to surrender to the Lord,
你开始向主臣服。
And bhakti is you know, beyond karma.
而 bhakti 是超越了业力的。
And now, you're working at your karma, but you're also advancing in bhakti.
Now you are working at your karma?
Working it out, you know, you're, You're paying your dues.
But in the meantime, also,
you're also starting to awaken and advance in bhakti.
Okay. 所以说现在你就既是在偿还你的业报，对，既是在燃烧你的业报，偿还你的业报，并且同时你也是在努力的让自己在灵性上得以觉醒，在 bhakti 当中得以前进，得以进步。
Yeah, so because bhakti is not part of karma, whatever advancement you make in bhakti, you never lose. And in your next life, you begin again, you know, at the same level of consciousness that you left off until you perfect yourself, until you fully awaken.
所以说由于 Bhakti 它并不是业力的一部分，因此你在 Bhakti 当中所做出的任何的进步都是永远不会消失，永远不会被你失去的。那么在下一生你就会继续按照你今生生命结束的那一刻的时候你的同等程度的知觉，你同等程度的知觉，然后开启下一世的Bhakti 的这个休息，直到你最终完全的觉醒。
So Krishna also calls bhakti, sometimes he calls it Buddhi Yoga or the path of intelligence.
Path of intelligence. Krishna 有时会把 bhakti 称为 Buddhi Yoga, 这个意思也就是说智力之路，智性之路。
Right, so the intelligence means you have a choice.
而智力的意思就是说你是有选择的。
And you can decide based on your intelligence, shall I do this or shall I do that?
你可以基于你的智力来做出选择，我是要做这件事情呢，还是不做？
And so the more awake you are, the more you are freed from the false ego, the more you can choose to serve Krishna, choose to live in the truth.Instead of the illusion.
因此你如果有越多的觉醒的话，你就是能够越多的从你的假我当中解脱出来，那么你就可以越多的做出选择来服务 Krishna, 来让自己活在真相之中。
Yeah, one of the first things that an awakening yogi realizes is thatconsciousness only exists in the present. Everything beyond the present, the past and the future, they're all illusory. There's no reality there.
Reality. 所以说在觉醒的瑜伽师所首先领悟到的一点，对，觉醒的瑜伽师所首先领悟到的一点，那就是知觉只是存在于当下。而知觉不会存在于除当下之外的其他的任何一刻，就比如说就是过去和未来，因为在过去和未来当中是没有真相，没有现实，而只有幻觉的。
So you can make a choice, you can use your intelligence to live in the truth, to live in the present.
因此你可以运用你的智力，你的智性来做出选择，是否要让自己活在当下，活在当下生命的真相之中。
And if you're present, you're not trying to control anything.
而如果你是临在的话，你是不会试图去掌控任何一切的。
You see that everything is already controlled by Krishna.
你就会真正的看到所有的一切都是处于 Krishna 的掌控之中。
Again, you can choose to surrender to that.And trust Krishna.
那么再一次你又可以做出选择来臣服于这个事实，臣服于所有一切都是由 Krishna 在掌控着的这个事实而放手自己的掌控。
But when we're lost in the mind,
然而当我们迷失在自己的心理之中，
we're lost in the false self that's trying to be the controller.
我们迷失在虚假的自我之中，迷失在这种自己要试图去掌控、去控制的这样一个虚假的自我之中的时候。
Yeah, so the more we awaken, the more we can actually properly utilize our free will to surrender to Krishna.
因此，如果我们有越多的觉醒的话，我们就能够越加的去使用自己的自由意志来向主臣服。
And Then we're no longer lost.
那么此时我们就没有再迷失了。
Krishna advises Arjuna in chapter 18.
Krishna 在博迦梵歌的第十八章给予 Arjuna 这样的建议。
He says, let's see. He says in verse 58.
十八章的五十八诗节。
Machita sarva durgani matprasadat tarishasi ata chetvam ahankaran na shrosyasi vinandyasi. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego,Not hearing me, you will be lost.
18.58 如果你逐渐觉知到我，你必因我的恩赐而跨越受限制生命的种种障碍。然而，如果你不以这样的知觉工作，还受假我驱使去活动，不听从我，那么你必失落无疑。
So it's a gradual process. You know, when we're sleeping and we're dreaming, basically we have no free will, very little free will, because we're lost in the dream, we're not conscious enough.
所以说这是一个逐渐的过程。当我们在睡梦之中的时候，可以说我们基本上是没有自由意志的，因为我们是完全迷失在梦境之中，此时是没有什么知觉的。
But because the dream ultimately is an unhappy one,It's going to cause us to want to awaken.
但是由于我们的梦境归根到底还是一个不快乐、不幸福的梦，因此最终还是会促使我们不得不从梦里面醒过来。
And then we reach a point where we're still asleep, but we've become conscious enough to realize we're dreaming.
不过到最终我们会到达这样的一个点。那就是我们还是处于梦中睡梦之中还是处于睡觉的状态但是此时已经有足够的知觉已经能够觉知到哎，好像是在睡觉那此时我们就可以做出选择是要继续睡呢还是要让自己醒过来
So at that point or you could say our free will is now activated
那么可以说到这一刻的时候我们的自由意志就被激发了就被激活了
And we can choose to stay in the dream and stay asleep, or we can choose to wake up in that moment.
我们可以做出选择，是要让自己继续睡下去，还是在那一刻完全的醒过来。
And we may experience many moments where we say, oh, no, I think I'll keep sleeping, and then we start to awaken, no, I think I'll go back to sleep. And then finally we say, enough, I'm getting up.
并且我们可能会是很在很多时刻体验到这样的一种状况就是觉得自己快要醒来了但是还是决定我要再睡一会儿然后就这样不断的体验这样的时刻直到最后终于觉得受够了还是得起床
yeah, the only reality is Krishna
唯一的现实就是 Krishna
not me nor anyone else exists without Krishna
没有任何一个人能够独立于 Krishna 而单独的存在。
That's the only life. There's no life in the illusion.
这才是唯一的生命，而在幻觉之中是没有任何生命存在的。
Yeah, so we have to, you know, we have to continually surrender to that.
所以说我们就必须要持续不断的向这样的现实、这样的真相臣服。
Because we have free will,It's always moment to moment. Otherwise, we wouldn't have free will.
因为我们有自由意志，因此我们总是要从这一个时刻到下一个时刻做出选择，否则的话就根本就没有自由意志的存在了。
Okay, did I answer everything? You think?
Let me see. How to balance the perfect arrangement of Krishna and the free will choice?
Well, you know, we have the choice to live in the light or to live in the illusion. Once we know that, once we receive that knowledge.
所以说这个问题就是你问到如何平衡 Krishna 完美的安排和自由意志选择之间的关系。那么 Guru 就说到这个，我们总是有选择的，是要让自己活在光明之中，还是要活在这个幻觉之中。
And ultimately, everything is, you know, happening by Krishna's arrangement.
而归根结底，所有的一切之所以能发生，那都是由于 Krishna 的安排才能得以发生的。
Yeah, we can resist that, or we can accept it. That's our choice.
我们可以去抗拒所发生的一切，或者是去接纳所发生的一切，这就是取决于我们自己的。
And as far as giving the money to a devotee,that's up to you. It's your choice.
而至于你提到的这个例子，就是要不要借钱给另一位奉献者，那么这就是你的选择了，完全取决于你。
Yeah, you can say, well, it's Krishna's arrangement that this devotee has come up to you and asked you for money. Yes, that's true.
你可以说，对，这是 Krishna 的安排，然后让这位奉献者到你这里来借钱。对，确实是如此。
But it's also Krishna's arrangement for you to decide whether you think it's a helpful thing or a not helpful thing.
但这同时也是 Krishna 的安排，来帮助你去明白，来帮助你去做出决定，到底这是一件有益的事情呢，还是一件没有什么注意的事情。
Yeah, Krishna has given you intelligence, so that's also Krishna's arrangement.
Krishna 也给了你智力，所以说他给了你智力的话呢，这也是 Krishna 的安排。
Yeah, is it a worthy request or is it, you know, is it actually something that would not be good for you or good for that devotee?
所以说这就需要你通过你的智力来判断，来决定到底对方所提出的这个要求是有价值的一个要求呢，还是说对你来说或者对那位奉献者来说都并不是一件很好的事情。
Yeah, we all have experience that, you know, that sometimes we enable someone's problems by giving them money.
We are enable someone's problems?
Like a person has an addiction,or a problem where they always borrow money, but they never pay it back. You know, we're not actually helping them by giving them money in that case, right?
You mean we have all experienced this kind of situation, huh?
Yeah, right.
就有可能我们都经历过这种状况，那就是有时的话呢，在对于比如说有患有一些瘾症啊，然后或者是这种金钱方面问题的人来说，我们把钱给予对方，实际上并没有真正帮到对方，而只是导致对方更深的陷入在自己的这个上瘾的这种状态中，或者是这种金钱的问题当中。
Yeah, so you have to analyze each case by case and then decide.
所以说你就必须要按照每一次发生的状况来分析，因为可能每一种状况都是不一样的。
Yeah, and then basically you want, you know, is it beneficial for this person or not? Is it beneficial for you or not?
所以你就要去分析到底借钱这个事情是对这个人有益呢，还是没有什么益处，或者借钱这个事情对你自己是有益的呢，还是没有什么益处。
Sometimes it's better to do nothing.Do no harm.
所以而有时的话呢，可能就最好什么都不做。
Okay.
我们来看下一个问题。安然这位奉献者问的问题，上期没回答上的问题哦。在假期时，14岁孩子喜欢吃、睡、看等物质享受，又不接受引导，这时怎么保有臣服而交给 Krishna 的心态，而不有控制心，又能尽职分？作为母亲，这种心态是咕噜刚提到的，不相信 Krishna 能保护你，总想自己去做，给孩子自己认为好的引导的心态吗？Oh, so this Mataji is asking a question that last time we didn't answer. Maybe I overlooked it. And she's asking that during the holiday that her 14-year kid enjoys sleeping and eating and all sorts of material sense enjoyment and does not accept the mother's guidance. So at this moment, how can she, this devotee, to maintain the surrendering mentality that everything is in control by Krishna, everything is arranged by Krishna, and not to having the desire to control, and in the meantime also do the mother's duty. As a mother, to have this kind of mentality is that the mentality that Guru Maharaj, you just mentioned last week, that not trusting Krishna that can protect you, only to do the things that you want to do and give the good guidance to the kids the way that you think the kid will benefit, this kind of mentality?
Well, ultimately, everyone is maintained by Krishna.
归根结底，任何一个生物体都是由至尊主在维系着的。
But as parents, it's our duty to maintain and protect our children.
而作为父母，这是我们的职责，要去维系自己的孩子，保护自己的孩子。
Now for a teenager also has a duty.
而这个青少年的孩子，少年时期的孩子的话呢，他们也有这个职责。
Their duty is to discover their independence from their parents.
而少年人的职责，那就是去发现独立于他们的父母而能够单独存在的这样一个他们的独立性。对，我这句话重说一遍，那就是少年人的职责，那就要去发现他们自己的独立性。
Yeah, so most teenagers to one degree or another want to rebel against whatever their parents say.
绝大多数的青少年的话呢，都会在某种程度上来反叛他们的父母。
Now, at this point, if over the years from the very beginning, you didn't cultivate a very effective way of communicating with your child, it's very difficult, to deal with a rebellious teenager.
而在这么多年你养育你孩子的过程当中，如果哈，假如你之前从来没有就是跟你的孩子之间培养出一种有效的沟通的方式，有效的沟通的方式，那么现在等到他到了少年时期的时候，你就会很难去处理，很难去应对一个反叛心的、很叛逆的一个少年孩子了。
Unless our parents were very effective communicators with us, chances are we never learned how to communicate effectively.
是说除非我们自己的父母就是非常有效率的、非常有效的交流者、沟通者，否则的话很有可能我们自己本身也从来没有学会过如何去有效的沟通和交流。
And generally we parent our children in the way that our parents parented us.
并且总的来说的话呢，我们养育孩子的方式和我们的父母养育我们的方式都是一样的。
Yeah, we were just following some unconscious mental pattern.
我们都只不过是在遵循着一些毫无察觉的下意识的这样一种心意模式来养育自己的孩子。
So, you know, that doesn't mean that you can't improve as a parent and develop parenting skills and communication skills even at this late stage.
当然这并不意味着就是说到了这个比较晚的时期，也就是你的孩子都已经到了青春期的这个时期的时候，这并不意味着就是说你无法去提升你的养育孩子的方式，无法去提升这个就是和孩子之间有效沟通交流的方式，并不是说这么一回事。
So you may get some tips by reading, you know, books on the subject or joining some support group or evenTalking with childhood educators.
A child what? Educator?
People who are educated in child development.
Oh, I see. 所以说你可以通过去阅读 这种就是养育孩子的书籍，或者是去参加这种就是支持父母的这种教育方式，支持父母的养育孩子的这种方式的这种团体小组，然后或者是去和这种教育孩子的专家有这种面对面的交流等等。那么通过这些方式的话，你也可以学习如何更有效的和你的孩子沟通。
So as a parent, you know, we have to set boundaries and limitations on our children in order to protect them and help them develop, you know, health and develop a healthy life.
所以说作为父母的话，我们为了保护自己的孩子，并且为了帮助孩子发展出健康的生活，健康的人生，我们就必须在孩子身上去设下一些界限，设下一些限制。
Children don't learn self-control on their own, they learn it from their parents.
但是孩子是并不是靠自己而学会自我控制的，孩子是通过他们的父母而学会自我控制的。
And so it's hard to discipline and be consistent, you know, with children, especially by the time they're teenagers.
因此到了孩子就是已经到了青春期的时候，是作为父母是很难去管教孩子，很难能够持之以恒的去be consistently what?
Consistent, you know, applying.You know, the boundaries consistently.
所以说到孩子青春期的时候，就会很，父母就会很难去管教孩子，很难这种持之以恒的去在孩子身上去设下界限。
Because parents don't know how to do that, and because it's difficult, they just give up at an early age and say, you know, watch all the TV you want, play with your five phone as much as you want.And just as long as you're doing that, I don't care, then I don't have to worry.
因为就是说父母都不知道如何去教育孩子，然后甚至是很多时候在孩子的早期时间，就是早年的这个童年时间的时候，就已经放弃去管教孩子了。就比如说就随便孩子去电视啊，或者玩手机打游戏啊等等，然后只要孩子这样去做或者是怎么样，父母就觉得满足了，然后就不管孩子了。
Now, if you consistently set boundaries for your child from the time they were young, it's not as difficult when they become teenagers. But if you haven't done that and they're a teenager, it's very difficult.
因此如果你在孩子很幼小的时候就已经持之以恒到现在都在给孩子设定界限，那么这个整个这个过程就不会那么困难，特别是当孩子到了这个青少年时期的时候，也就不会那么困难的去管教他。但是如果在幼年的时候没有设好这些界限的话，那么等到他们到了青春期叛逆期的时候，就会很难再去管教他们了。
Having said that, still, the child is in your house, it's your house.
但虽然我这样说，但是你的孩子还是和你继续同住在一个屋檐下。
Right, it's your food.
他you mean the kid eats her food?
Yeah.
然后你的孩子和你同住一个屋檐下，他在吃着你给他烹饪的食物。
So they have to obey your rules.
所以说，这个孩子就不得不去服从你的规矩。
Until they're independent and can support themselves.
直到他们终有一天选择独立，然后完全靠自己来养活自己那一刻为止。
Yeah, so that's your responsibility.
所以说到了之前都是你的职责的，都是你的责任的。
There's no way around it.
就
you can't avoid it.
Avoid taking care of the kid until the kid becomes independent.
Yeah, you have to tell them to do what's right.
对，所以说直到你孩子彻底独立之前，你都没办法能够逃避得了这样的责任，都不得不去告诉孩子怎么做才是正确的。
Yeah, so somehow you have to be strict, but at the same time bend, you know, be able to bend.
be able to what?
Bend. You know, you have to be flexible, but strict at the same time.
所以说作为母亲的话呢，你就不得不非常严厉，但同时的话呢，也是非常灵活的。
Otherwise, you'll break, or the kid will break, or you'll both break.
否则的话，就是说，如果你要是太过严厉的话，那么你可能你作为母亲就会崩溃，或者你的孩子会崩溃，或者你们俩都会崩溃。
Did I answer that? Did I forget any of her points?
I think the last the thing that she mentioned that you know to be a mother having this kind of mentality is actually the mentality that you have mentioned previously, that not really trusting Krishna that can protect me and always want to do the things my way, and so to give the best to my kid, to give the best guidance to my kid, that kind of mentality.
No, Krishna ultimately is controlling everything, but he gives us free will, and we're responsible for the choices we make.
Responsible for the choices we make. 所以说你提到的最后那一句，我刚才重复给咕噜听，就是说你说到作为母亲的这种心态是咕噜刚提到的，不相信 Krishna 能保护你，总向自己去做给孩子自己认为好的引领的心态嘛。然后咕噜就说到，这个我们归根结底，那么 Krishna 掌控着所有的一切，而我们是有自由意志的，因此我们要对自己所做出的选择承担起责任。
Right? If you allow your child to look at their cell phone as much as they want, there's consequences.
所以如果你允许，你曾允许你的孩子就是尽可能多的去玩手机的话，那么这样的做法就最终是会带来结果的。
Yeah, Krishna's not responsible, you are.
而 Krishna 对这样的结果没有承担起责任，而是你要承担起责任。
Yeah. Anyway, we learn. This is how we learn.
但总的来说，这就是我们最终得以明白一些道理，得以明白一些道理的方式了。
Yeah, you're teaching your kid, and your kid is teaching you.
你在教导你的孩子，而同时你的孩子也在教导你。
Okay.
Okay, next one, 下一个问题，都江堰隆多卓玛这位妈妈姐问的问题，顶拜咕噜，感恩妈妈姐的翻译，请问这次疫情也是 Krishna 的安排吗？目前全世界灾难不断，请问我们如果一直不能去印度朝圣，也没有圣人进入中国，如果只是每天自己在家里听课服务 Krishna, 在这种状态中死去的话，灵魂会去哪里呢？So, Gurumaji, this mother is asking thatShe's offering her businesses to you. She's asking that is this kind of a coronavirus also the arrangement of Krishna? Because nowadays, the whole world is going through so many disasters. And so my question is that, if we cannot go to the Holy Dham in India, and there is also no saints, no teachers coming to China to give us lectures, and all we can do is just stay home and listening to the lectures and doing service to Krishna. And if we died in this kind of state, where do our souls go to?
Well, Krishna says in at the end of chapter 6 that one who practices yoga, one who does good is never lost.
One who does good is never lost, right?
Yeah.
So Krishna 在博迦梵歌的第六章的结尾就说到，一个修习瑜伽的人，一个尽自己最大努力来做好的人，那么他永远都不会迷失的。
And whatever level of Krishna consciousness you've developed in this life,will carry you to your next life, and you'll never lose it.
而你在今生所发展出来、培养出来的 Krishna 知觉的这个水平、这个层面，你也会同样的带到你的下一世，你是永远不会失去你曾培养出来的 Krishna 知觉的。
Yeah, either three possibilities.
所以有三种可能。
If you're not very advanced, you'll take birth.In a rich family, and you'll have immediately another opportunity to continue Krishna consciousness.
其实第一种可能就是，如果你并没有非常的进步的话，那么你会投身在一个非常富有的家庭，然后很快就会有机会再次开启这个 Krishna 知觉的修行。
If you're very advanced, you'll take birth in the family of transcendentalists, and you'll learn Krishna consciousness from the very beginning, and you'll take to it.
而如果你是非常进步的瑜伽师的话，那么你会投身在超然主义者的家庭里，然后从很年幼的时期就开始再次的修行。
Or you'll go back home, back to Godhead.
或者第三种可能就是你直接回归家园，回归守神了。
So either way, not to worry.
所以说无论是哪一种方式的话呢，都不需要担心。
Now, everything in the material world is temporary.
物质世界当中的所有一切都是短暂的。
It's a struggle for existence in all forms.
对于所有的生命体来说，要生存下来都是一种挣扎。
No form is free of birth, death, old age, and disease.
在物质世界当中，没有任何一种生命体能够远离这个生老病死的痛苦。
That's Krishna's design.
这就是 Krishna 的设计。
He's designed it in such a way that we will want to awaken from the dream.
他把物质世界设计成这个样子，就是为了帮助我们能够最终想要从梦境当中苏醒过来。
So in that respect, even the coronavirus is Krishna's mercy.
所以说从这个角度来看，那么即便是这个冠状肺炎的话，那也是 Krishna 的仁慈了。
Also as human beings, it's our responsibility to make choices that are beneficial and pleasing.You know, that are beneficial for everyone, for all living beings, and pleasing to Krishna.
并且作为人类的话，这也是我们自己的责任。我们有责任来做出选择，能够是有益于众生的选择，并且是也取悦 Krishna 的选择。
So when human beings exploit the planet, exploit, you know, the animals, exploit each other,There's consequences, there's reactions.
因此当人类去剥削这个星球，当人类去剥削动物，去利用动物的时候，甚至是当人类彼此利用、彼此剥削、彼此压迫的时候，那么这必然都是有后果会来临的。
So, we can look at anything really that happens in life, as beneficial for a devotee.
作为奉献者，我们可以把人生当中发生的所有事情都看作是有益的。
So right now the devotees can't travel to the holy dham.
所以现在奉献者没办法去印度朝圣。
And a lot of the foreign preachers or all the foreign preachers right now cannot come to China to associate with you.
而所有的外国的传教士的话呢，都没法到中国来和大家和你一起联谊。
Personally, it's very painful for me. I hate that I cannot visit, you know, in April. It really bothers me, but I have to look on the bright side.
所以就我个人来说，这个没办法能够四月到中国来和大家在一起，对我来说真的挺痛苦的，我真的很不喜欢这样子，然后真的很让我困扰，但是的话我不得不去看到这光明的一面。
What's the upside?
那这光明的一面是什么呢？
You have to become more self-reliant.
那就是你不得不更加的去依靠你自己。
Right, you're going to die alone.
因为你会独自死去。
When you exit your body, no one's going to be there. Even if they're in the room with you, you know, it's you who are the one leaving your body, nobody else.
因为你会独自死去，即便在你要离开躯体的那一刻，你跟你同处一个房间的还有其他很多人，有其他很多奉献者，但是的话，最终只有你自己一个人会离开你的身体。
Or as Prabhupada used to say, you have to fly your own plane.
就像帕帕曾经说过的，你得自己驾驶你自己的飞机。
Right, we can go to flight school and have a teacher, but ultimately we have to fly the plane.
我们当然可以去飞行学校上学，然后上课，然后去学习怎么开飞机，但是最后我们必须得自己开飞机。
So take this as an opportunity for you to become more self-reliant, and also to appreciate the association that you've had and that you will have in the future. Let it inspire you to just be more grateful.
所以说就把这一次的这整这个整个事件整个状态当做是一个很好的机会，来让你学会更加的依靠你自己，并且的话呢，也把这个作为是能够给予你更多的这种鼓舞，让你更加去感恩，去欣赏你曾经所经历过的、所拥有过的涟漪，并且去感恩你未来会有的涟漪。
Right, it's kind of like the prayer in AA, the Serenity Prayer.
Serenity Prayer 啊，所以这就有点像是那个国际戒酒协会当中的有一个祷文、祈祷文一样的，他那个他们被称为叫做Serenity Prayer 这种安静的祈祷文。
It's like Lord, give me the intelligence, you know, or the ability to change what I can.
所以他这个祷文是这样的：主啊，请你给予我智力，来让我得以辨识，我能够。能够让我明白我能够去改变的东西是什么。
And give me the serenity to accept the things that I can't change.
主啊，请你给予我平静，能够去接受我无法改变的事物。
And give me the intelligence to know the difference.
并且请你给予我智力，能够让我来明白这二者之间的区别，明白什么是我可以改变的，什么是我无法改变的。
Yeah, so if there's something that occurs within your realm of influence that you can improve and change, then do it.
因此，如果在你的能力范围，在你的影响范围之内，有些东西是可以改变，可以被改进，可以被调整的，那么你就可以去做。
And if it's something that's really beyond your control, then let go.
而如果某个事物是完全超越了你的控制的，那么就请你放手。
And depend on Krishna.
完全的去依赖于 Krishna.
Okay, thank you. Any more questions?
Yeah, I think that's today's all questions. So, 今天的问题就都跟大家回答完毕了。
Oh, thank you very much for those questions. Really good questions. Of course, they're always good questions.
就非常感谢大家的问题，你们的问题真的问得很棒，当然大家一直以来问的问题都是很棒的。
Yeah, so I really pray that this virus peaks and then recedes and ultimately goes away, but you know, it's beyond our control.
就我真的祈祷这次的这个肺炎这个病毒的话呢能够很快的消退，但是的话这个整个事情是完全超越了控制的。
So one more saying from Prabhupada, we should make the best use of a bad bargain.
Make the best use of a bad bargain. 说帕帕曾也说过这样的一句话，就是如果自己这个 bad bargain, 就这个应该怎么说呢，就如果我们去买东西跟别人讨价还价，结果可能是以很高的价钱买了质量不好的东西，那么在这种情况下我们也要让自己能够最大化的去利用好自己买来的东西。所以说咕噜这句意思就是说，如果我们即便现况不好，但是我们也最大化的去利用好现况。
So whatever occurs, let us use it as an opportunity to surrender to Krishna.
就是无论发生任何事情，我们都把它作为一次机会来让自己更加的去臣服于 Krishna.
That doesn't mean we don't actually, you know, do anything or use our free will, but there's only, you know, we have our limitations.
就当然这并不意味着我们就什么事儿都不做了，然后不去运用自己的自由意志了。But what's the last sentence?
Well, we have our limitations.
而我们都是有自己的这个，对，我们都是有自己的局限性的。
Yeah, so we put our hands in the air and we say Hare Krishna.
所以我们就把双手举到空中，然后去大声的喊出 Hare Krishna.
Okay, thanks again for my obeisances to all the devotees who attended the class today.
我虔诚的顶拜今天来听课的奉献者们。
And my obeisances to the translators and facilitators.
顶拜 Smoking Bata Ji.
And you too, Narayan.
Thank you, Maharaj.
All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. See you next week.
所有的荣耀都归于帕帕，所有的荣耀都归于圣典博加瓦坛。咱们下周见。
Yeah, we should, you know, we should be grateful that we can associate on the internet like this. It's amazing.
我们真的要感恩呐，能够大家在网上联谊，这真的太棒了。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Gumaraj. 怀昆塔之音福源于聆听，今天的讲课到此结束。Hare Krishna, 愿大家有美好的知觉的一天。